broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And this is the place where truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. You don't have to believe me. You can ask them. And this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots each and every solitary night. Off we go. Bob Green joins us from Fraser Foods this evening as we talk about the consumer reaction to the end of the debt crisis, if that's a way we want to describe it, the debt crisis or the debt ceiling bill crisis, more like it. We'll talk with Robert Green about that. In our next hour, we will discuss the Warren Jeffs case. And this is this guy that is a so-called religious leader, a cult leader from Texas, that they allege has molested or raped children and calls himself Jesus Christ or whatever. What is he?
No, he says he's a prophet. Yeah.
All right. Oh, he's a prophet. That's it. Yeah, sure. Okay, great. So we'll talk about that next time. He's a prophet. He's Jesus. What's the difference? At least in their minds. Coming up tonight, so we have those things. We also would like to tell you in our affiliate spotlight this evening, we have KFXR in Dallas, Texas, and KTOQ in Rapid City, South Dakota. Two great stations here along the way on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show Radio Network. We're also live with streaming video of the Phil Hendry Show Network, the Phil Hendry Phil TV in HD, I should say, which is on our website. So if you want to watch a video cast of our show, you can do that right now. You will see behind me the three goddesses of Oceania. Tonight, all hail Oceania. These are the you might say this is the Trinity, the Holy Trinity of our radio show. You have to see it to understand it. Also, I'd like to remind you, coming up on Sunday, this coming Sunday, August the 7th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I will be interviewed by the great actor and comedian Kevin Pollak on his Kevin Pollak's Chat Show, which he has every Sunday afternoon at 3, and that's at kevinpollakschatshow.com. You all know Kevin Pollak, right, bud?
Yeah, he was in a movie that they did with the Marines.
Yeah, man, what's the name of it?
What was the name of it?
The Good Men.
A Few Good Men. That was the one.
Yeah, that had Tom Cruise.
Right. He was in that. He's been in Avalon. He's been in a lot of great things. He's a very funny guy. He does a lot of impressions. He does a dead-on...
he does Captain Kirk.
He does Captain Kirk. He does Christopher Walken. So anyway, so Kevin and will be talking with me on Sunday. That'll be a lot of fun. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, you are always welcome to join us, as I mentioned here, online at philhendryshow.com. You can also join us on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhendry. Robert Green joining us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park. Bob, how are you doing this evening? Are you still open?
Well, Phil, actually, we're not open, but we're having a little bit of a mixture for our employees tonight. It's the 43rd birthday of one of our managers, our produce manager, John Ludwig. And so we wanted to get together and have a little birthday party for him this evening.
All right. I wanted to talk to you, about the consumer reaction and how things are going in terms of business at your store, the reaction of consumers as to the end of this debt crisis, so-called, and the ongoing soft economy.
Yeah, well, so let's first of all start off, and I want to talk to you in detail about some of this, but let me first start off by saying to you, I don't think we're out of any recession. I think we're still in a recession. I understand, the ladies have moved to the other end of the room. If you ladies could move to the other end of the room. It's very crowded in here, Phil, and I don't have my office tonight because I've got my bookkeepers are in there getting some work done. But nonetheless...
So you don't think that the recession is over?
I don't think that we are out of the recession from the standpoint of, obviously we're not out of the recession from the standpoint of real robust growth. Now I know that they say a recession is contracting quarters two in a row. And I understand that technically we are still growing. But when you're growing at 1%, this is not a healthy growth rate. This is, you're barely making it. Now, when they announced that the debt deal was done, and keep in mind, Phil, that there was a lot of pressure, not just on consumers, there's pressure on business people as well. And when they announced that the debt deal was done, that did not necessarily take any pressure off of me. I don't know if it took any off of our customers.
You're being under pressure is being under the pressure of not having business at the levels that you're used to having it.
That is right.
And you've got to figure out, well, what do we do? How do we stimulate business in a soft economy? How do we get people through the door even though they're reluctant to spend money?
Well, no, I know all of that. I mean, I've been in business a long time. I know all of that. But, no, the pressure I'm talking about, when they announced the debt deal, they took away from me, for instance, I'll give an example. During the debt crisis, during the crisis leading up to this final resolution of it, I didn't know, and there were an awful lot of retailers just like me, I didn't know whether or not food stamps, for instance, were going to be backed up by the government. I had no idea whether the usual food stamps that people are bringing in from the Department of Agriculture, and so you're reluctant to take them. And as a businessman, it was a rare opportunity for me to send a message, I guess, to my customers and say, look, we're in this together.
And, right.
And we've got you're bringing in food stamps. I don't know if these are any good. And a lot of times I would take them and I'd tear them in half right in front of them. I'd say, this is what they're worth.
You would tear people's food stamps in half.
I would tear people's food stamps in half and look at them and say, you want to know something? You see these? These are food stamps. I know you brought them in. You understand that we may not fund the government. We may not have a fully funded budget. You understand that there are some things that may not get paid for. And some of these people understand and some of them don't. And so I try to explain. I'll say, you understand that, and you see people sometimes, their eyes glass over a little bit. And that's when I said, you know what, forget it. And I ripped the stamps, the food stamps in half.
Now, why would you do that? Why would you rip them in half?
Well, for one of the reasons I just told you, they're not going to be worth anything if they don't get a budget.
But I mean, in other words, that's not your job. You don't have to take them, I guess. I think you're supposed to take them, aren't you?
Why should I take food stamps if they're not backed up by the full faith and credit of the United States government? Are you kidding? And so why shouldn't I tear them up? I mean, that's my logic. But I can't even do that anymore because the debt deal is done. So you understand what I'm saying, Phil? The pressure is still on me. In fact, it's gotten even worse because now I don't even have the release of being able to tear. Hold on for just a minute. Would you ladies move it over to the other end because it's just coming through. It's coming through really loud. I apologize, Phil.
Well, you're having a birthday party there, and you know what? I apologize to you. I shouldn't even be bothering you while you're celebrating.
No. Bob Ludwig, I've known him for years. He's been our produce, been assistant manager, 20 years with our company. He's a wonderful guy. And I want to be here for him, but our other offices are crowded, but I'm just trying to get these women here. These are my checkers. Yeah, just the other end of the room. The other end of the room. You don't have to be standing here breathing on me. You don't have to be breathing on me.
Look at Bob. Do you want to handle that? And then we'll
hold on for a minute. Just, huh? That's great. I'll have some of the garlic dip. I'll have it all. You know, what I'm asking you to do now is to move it to the other end of the room. Thank you very much. Thank you. Can you believe this? It's like it's like I got to find a dictionary and some kind of a Martian I got to speak.
All right. Is everything comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
But let me just get back to what I was saying. What I'm saying is this. I don't even have the pleasure now, and I say that not because of anything personal. I say this because I don't even have the pleasure and the relaxation of tearing up food stamps in front of people. Do you understand?
So no, I do not understand. You're saying to me that you got pleasure out of tearing up food stamps because why?
I got pleasure out of tearing up food stamps because it was the first time in my working experience that I was able to look at a customer and I could say to them, you want to know something? The government may not be able to fund these. These have been holding you back long enough. Watch this. And I would either take out scissors or I would take out a razor or I would, I had one of those old-fashioned straight razors, Phil, if you ever saw them, the ones that the barber used to use on a strap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those. I would unfold it. I'd say, have you ever seen one of these? And some of the younger kids would say, wow, that looks like the kind of thing they use in the horror movies and so forth. I'd say, yeah. and I would slice the food stamps up in front of the kid and in front of the mother.
And well, what are these people saying and what are they thinking when they see you slicing up these food stamps?
I would say to them, I'd say, look, this gives me pleasure to be able to do this for you. It takes a lot of pressure off of me so I can make a statement here in my own store that I'm sick and tired of looking at this. And I want to cut these food stamps up before I get sick and tired of looking at you. And I will say this, and but I love my customers, Phil. I don't want to be sick and tired of looking at them. So I say to them, you come in here with your food stamps. Well, guess what? The government may not be able to back them up. I'm sick to death of looking at food stamps. Wouldn't you rather give me something that had a picture of Abraham Lincoln on it?
And I can't believe, Bob, and I've known you for a long time, I can't believe you're saying these things to longtime customers.
What do you mean long time? What kind of longtime customers do I have that are bringing in food stamps?
Well, you're saying this to customers that are there with their children. These are people that are in distress. These are very difficult economic times. You said so yourself. You know, I understand probably in your line of work, in your way of thinking, you are having it harder than they are.
Absolutely, I'm having it harder than them because I've got not only my mouth to feed and my girlfriend's mouth to feed, and I've got an ex-wife, and I've got two children by my ex-wife. I've got one baby by a young lady that I knew after I separated from Joan, and you know what I'm talking about, Phil, right?
Yes.
So I've got two with my wife. I got two with this the woman that I was with, and I've got one on the way with the girlfriend that I have now, who's also one of our checkers, and who wants to be Mrs. Bob Green. And I have said to her, I want to make you Mrs. Bob Green, but are you embarrassed about checking groceries? Well, just, you know, fill me in on this, because I don't understand. And she looks at me like, yeah. And so I have that pressure. I have a lot of different things. That
I don't understand what any of this has to do with. You're slicing up food stamps in front of people.
I'm saying that cutting the food stamps up relieves pressure and relieves tension. If I can look at a customer and I can say, I'm sick of looking at these, and I got to do this before I get sick of looking at you. And if they're there with their child, I'll say you and you. And, of course, if they're there with a husband or children, I'll say, I want to cut these up before I get sick of looking at you and you and you and you, depending upon how many people.
And so you take out this straight razor that looks like it's out of a horror movie.
No, that's what I said to a kid one day. Don't be dramatic, Phil.
All right, well, you take out a straight razor and you cut these things up.
Or I tell them I'm taking them up to the executive restroom and I'm going to use them for you-know-what, TP, and the kids laugh. Or I tell them that I'm going to use them as a jock itch problem.
And in other words, you're going to show an enormous amount of contempt for food stamps by wiping with them, wiping your armpits with them, cutting them up with a straight razor, and doing this in front of these people. And all of this allows you to release a lot of pressure and a lot of tension.
Exactly, but I don't have that release anymore. I don't even have that release. So while this debt deal may have relieved a lot of people, it hasn't taken any pressure off of me. I still got a high level of pressure, and it's even worse. So I don't know what they're talking about. And again, and you can hear, I'm in the middle of this party. I'm trying to be good to my employees. I've asked them a million times. Here comes a million and one. Would you move out of the way? Thank you. I'm trying to get something to eat. I got this. Well, I shouldn't say it. I got one of the checkers here. She's got the woman is big enough. She's blocking the whole table. I do all of this for my employees, and what do I get? I don't get anything. I get nothing. And so when I want to cut up some food stamps, and that's taken from me.
No one's taken anything from you.
Well, I'm saying that this debt deal, which is going, you know.
Hold on for just a second, Bob, while we take a break, as Robert Green talks to us about the debt ceiling deal, which has taken from him even the simple joy he had of cutting up food stamps in front of people because he didn't think the government had the money to back it up. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a guy who is in business, who is under so much pressure that he has taken to cutting up food stamps in front of the people to bring them into the store because he says they're not going to be worth anything. Now, with the debt ceiling deal in place and the government supposedly good for the money or the the resources that back up those food stamps. Bob can't even cut them up, so he says he's been deprived of some pressure release. Our name is Phil Hendry. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Robert Green got stress relief from tearing up food stamps, and now with the debt ceiling agreement, he can't even do that anymore. He did this in front of his customers. 877-876-PHIL, your calls and more of Robert Green next to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Your ass is blocking the table.
Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Robert Green at Fraser Foods in Buena Park, which, by the way, I was on the Knott's Berry Farm website.
You've been talking about, why don't you come down here and we'll go to Knott's Berry Farm and we'll take you to dinner? And
we'd love to do that, you know. And how far are you away from Knott's?
Well, we're right near the medieval Times restaurant, and we're about a block or so away from the main entrance at Knott's Berry Farm. So you should come down here, and it's a lot of fun. But again, the Times are, if you've got the money to go to Knott's Berry Farm, good for you. I do, because I fortunately have put a lot of, hold on for a minute. I'm awfully sorry, Phil. Hold on. Would you get away from me for a minute? You're talking too much. You're talking too much. I got to.
Bob, we can do this at a later date.
No, I'm not going to do anything at a later date. I own the company. I got into an area here where maybe we can get just a little less. I apologize, Phil, but it has been just very crowded. Yeah, bring me some of that dip. Bring me one of those big sandwiches, one of those heroes. Huh? One of the big long sandwiches. The big long sandwiches. What do you call those, Phil?
Hey, Bob, we got an interview to do here.
I understand. What do you call the big long sandwich?
You call them a submarine?
That's it, a submarine. Give me that. A hero. We call it a hero, you know, or a tunnel. We called it a tunnel back east when I was growing up. Tunnel. A big long sandwich. Hold on for a minute, Phil.
What is he doing? But every time that we have that gentleman on this show, he's distracted.
I told him that he's supposed to stay on the radio with Mr. Hendry, and he's not supposed to.
I got the big long sandwich. God! I'm sorry, Phil.
You know what? You're not in any shape to do this interview. You know, I can reschedule.
No. Hold on. Hold the phone. You're not rescheduling anything. Let me tell you something, Mr. Hendry. You know I advertise with your show.
Yes, sir, I do. But I'm just saying, it doesn't sound like you're in any shape to do this interview.
Hold on. Come here for a minute. Phil, I tell you what. You got a record you want to play? Or
we don't play records.
What's that?
We don't play records here.
Well, I mean, if you have like a long record, you told me one time you used to put on, what is it, In Memory of Elizabeth Reed or Light My Fire, something like that?
I don't play records on this show. I'm doing an interview with you, sir. And the interview was scheduled earlier this week. And you're supposed to be talking to me.
I understand. Hold on. Just 1 second. Come here for a minute. You see this? This is a piece of bread. And this is a piece of bread. What do you put in the middle of it? Yeah, you put meat. That doesn't mean, and you know something, Phil, this kid, he's very slow. We got him from one of these projects. And I said put meat between these two sandwiches, and he did something that was very crude, and he frightened some of the ladies here.
Well, then the kid has no business. That child has no business.
Child? He's 30. What do you mean child?
Well, that gentleman, whoever he is, has no business working with the public like that.
Hold on. When I said put meat between these two pieces of bread, what'd you do?
I opened up.
You opened up, exactly.
You know, I don't want to hear this, Bob, and I'm going to hang the phone up right now if you don't stop with this conversation.
You're going to hang the phone up. That's what it sounded like. All right, get lost.
You know, you've got this manner, Robert, in dealing with your employees that I find, if I were one of your employees, I'd quit, to be honest with you.
Well, you're not one of my employees, Phil, and I have the business success to prove that my methods are sound.
And you have this young man who I take it is somehow developmentally disabled. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
All right. And this boy had, for whatever reason, he's a 30-year-old man, I understand, did something obscene through no fault of his own in front of the women.
I said put meat between the two pieces of bread. Between the buns. And I...
It's a big long shot whether we're coming back to that guy.
Yeah, but he's...
It's a big long shot. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
I told him to...
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Robert Greene with us in Buena Park, California tonight as we talk about the aftermath of the debt ceiling crisis, so to speak, and the legislation that came of all of this contretemps in Washington, D.C. Before this deal was done, Bob, you were not confident of the validity of food stamps. You were not confident of the validity of any government-issued check. Isn't that right?
That is absolutely correct, Bill. My feeling is the government, a check that the United States government issues now, it's very interesting because you hear people talking about, well, does the U.S. government, is the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, is it respected around the world? Well, I will tell you this. The Egyptians may respect it, and the French may respect it, and the British may respect it. I don't know who respects. I'll tell you who doesn't respect it. That's me and a lot of businessmen that I work with. So that when the government issues food stamps, I mean, you've got to be kidding me. And so people will walk in here, and during that crisis, when I saw any one of a number of people I know very well, the Blaylock family, Mr. and Mrs. Gutierrez, Jonesboro, Clements, these are all people that have been shopping here for years. And they all come in here with their food stamps. I said to them, you don't understand. I might as well take these and I might as well clean a cat's, excuse me for saying this, but I said, clean a cat's rectum.
Well, what's the point of being so crude? You know?
Well, the point, I told you that as a conservative, it gave me some sense. I was able to let off a little pressure. Not because I wanted to be cruel to them.
Oh, yeah, that's why. I don't believe that. Okay.
What do you mean you don't believe that? Who are you not to believe what I'm saying?
Because I don't believe that people walked in there with food stamps, and you said to them, you might as well wipe a cat's rectum.
I said clean a cat's rectum.
All right, well, whatever. And you don't think that you had no intention of offending anybody?
Phil, I'm telling you, I was letting...
No, I know you're letting off pressure, you're letting off steam, but there's only way that you can get emotional release like that is by confronting a human being and by throwing it back in their face. So that's why I say that I don't believe you.
Let me get over, Bob. You know something? You insult me.
And plus, you're saying now that the debt crisis has been relieved, you don't have... You don't have the opportunity to tear up food stamps in front of people anymore. You don't have the opportunity to release that pressure that way.
Hold on. Let me get Bob over here. Bob Ludwig. Bob, come here for a minute. Hi. Bob, Phil Hendry's on the phone right now. We're on his radio show. Do you listen to Phil Hendry?
Well, I don't know that I have. I like to listen to music, mostly.
Well, Phil Hendry's got a radio show. And Phil, this is Bob Ludwig.
Bob, how are you doing?
Hello?
Bob, how are you doing? It's Phil Hendry.
He can't hear you. Bob, hit the phone and put it up to your ear.
Hello?
Hi, Bob. It's Phil Hendry. We're on the air.
Hi, Phil.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's my birthday.
I want to ask something, Bob. Can you hear me, Phil?
I can hear you, yeah.
Because Bob has the phone now, so we're both kind of breathing into this. Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that again.
I just kissed you.
What happened?
I was using the phone. He had the phone, and I leaned in, and he turned and gave me a kiss on the cheek.
Well, that's a sweet thing to do.
Holloway, you get out of here. That's something a retard does. Don't do that.
Don't use that word on this show, please.
I'm sorry. I forgot. Anyway, Bob's going to talk to you. Don't do that, Bob, okay? It disgusts me. And I'm not gay.
I'm not gay either. I just felt like I owed you so much with my life.
That's very nice.
He's thanking you.
Hey, look, Phil, let's not turn this into some kind of a group hug, okay? Here's Bob Ludwig.
Bob, how are you?
I said I'm okay. I don't know how many times you want to ask me that.
Boy, what an ass. I mean...
Don't be rude to Mr. Hendry.
Bob, how much do you get paid?
Give me the phone. $41,000.
What did he say?
He told me he gets $41,000 a year.
That's a lie. That's a dirty, filthy lie. And I get $41,000. All right. Look at Phil. I don't think it's fair for you to be talking to my employees.
I'm trying to get a straight answer out of somebody on the show tonight. $41,000 a year, and a guy's been with you for 20 years, huh?
We are enduring very difficult times. And the difficult times that we're enduring means that I've got to lay off people. I've got to cut back on salaries. I have, and I'm under pressure. And the only fun that I get, the only relaxation that I get, because I don't take vacations, as the result of the pressure that I'm under, I don't mind telling you that I've had, in terms of my own marriage, we've had marital problems. And I'm not going to get specific, but you can imagine what that is. Can't you, Phil?
Yes, I can.
There's any number of problems. So the only joy that I had was when someone walked in here, with the answer by my hair.
You know something, Bob? Everything that you say speaks of a sadistic personality, an entitled and sadistic and racist personality, okay?
No. I am not racist.
With the Aunt Jemima hair. Isn't that what you said?
I meant to say the bandana.
What difference does it make? No wonder you're having a hard time with your company and with your employees.
Hold on for a minute. Bob, come here. Come on. Heat that soup up for me, will you?
You know the stew?
Yeah, heat the stew up. Thank you. Phil, all of the things that I've said in my time, don't heat it too long. Don't heat it too long. Get it out of there. Get it out of there! In the time that I have been with this company, and I've owned this company, poured into that bowl and put the napkin here.
What are you asking that guy to do?
He's putting a napkin in my shirt. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, I'm here with my employees. And what do you think they bring to work as part of Bob Ludwig's birthday celebration? They bring that stuff that they eat.
Now, what stuff do they eat?
I just heated it up. It's a stew. It's made by the Hispanic people.
Menudo.
Right, there you go. Give the man a cigar. It's got cow guts in it, tripe, and hominy. It's about as funky and hunky a thing as you're ever going to eat. You see what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to eat it. And you think that I'm an entitled guy? You think that I'm some guy that...
Bob, I'm not... I don't want to hear you give a speech. I heard you say that you relax by ripping up food stamps. Now you don't have that to enjoy because the debt ceiling has been raised, because the crisis is over, because you have to trust the United States government. They're going to back up these food stamps. So now what do? You're yelling at your employees during this birthday party. You're talking to this guy like he's your personal valet. You got him heating up soup for you. I thought this man was a manager in your produce department.
He is a manager. Hold on, I want to take a sip of this. Oh, God. Oh. God.
What?
Oh.
What?
Oh, God, I can't eat it. I can't eat it. Bob, please. Hi, Mr. Henry. Mr. Green is getting sick into the sink from the menudo. Are you there, sir?
I'm here, sir.
Yeah.
Give me the phone. The guy that brought that in is a guy named Ernesto. Now, watch this. I keep a taser, and I want you to hear this, because this is a great... Hey, Ernesto, come here for a minute. Come here for a minute. Bring in Harmony, huh? Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's 5 seconds.
Yeah. 5 seconds is right.
What did you just do to that guy?
Tased him for bringing that slop in. And I'll do it again.
You know something, man? You ought to be arrested for what you just did.
I ought to be arrested. He brought in that Menudo. Get him up. Get him up. Get him up. That's it. That's it. Straighten him up. Straighten him up. Yeah.
Send a cop over there for you. That's what we ought to do.
What's that?
Send a cop over there.
This guy brings over Menudo with cow guts in it. What have I done for this, for the people here?
Mr. Henry, this is Bob Ludwig, the produce manager.
Yes, sir. Was that man really tased?
He was, but it wasn't a taser in the sense that it was shooting darts. It was a hand taser, and this guy Ernesto makes a big deal out of everything. He's okay. He's standing up and laughing right now.
Well, what was he doing?
He was going through an act, but Mr. Green is now, he's out of the room. I can tell you that we're having a nice party, and I'm sorry that you have intruded, or you haven't intruded, but you've walked into the middle of this. There are things that I could tell you. Things, please, Mr. Green, not for those.
Guys talking? I just stopped him from talking.
You ought to be put in a jail cell. That's number one. Then
go ahead, and a nut house?
Yes, and a nut house.
All right. What else?
You know something, Bob? I've heard you tase people. I've heard you tell some guy not to kiss you on the lips. I've heard you...
What law was I breaking there?
I don't know, but it's your mind is coming unraveled ever since you haven't had food stamps to tear up. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds to me like you're right. Like the pressure is so great, you're tasing people. You got a guy putting Menudo into a microwave and then you're spitting it out into a sink. You're telling people that you want... What is that?
I'm heating up some of that Menudo. It's not bad. Yeah, that's good stuff. So, what I'm saying is...
So the Menudo's good now, huh?
It's fine. I mean, how good can cow guts be? The point that I'm making is that as long as we have a crisis financially in this country and the pressure continues on business people like myself, then I'm going to have to find a way to relieve that pressure. And when I can't even tear up food stamps in front of somebody and throw them back in their face, then
the pressure is on you. And that person, of course, there's no pressure on them.
What pressure is going to be on a guy like that?
Because the humiliation of having his own food stamps thrown back in his face while the kid's standing there.
Well, the kid, come on, Phil. I mean, we all know. We all know that there's no bull in there. There's nothing in there. Oh, I'm sorry. You see what I'm talking about?
You know what? If you had any kind of couth and if you had any manners, you wouldn't be doing this while you and I are trying to have a discussion about what this... What the economy...
Is there a bowl in there now? But it's not full of anything. Take it out. You tell me.
If you're hiring people that stupid, that's your problem.
No, you tell me when I tell the guy to heat me up a bowl in Menudo, I said heat up a bowl...
And he put a bowl in there.
Yeah, but first he didn't put anything in there.
I'm sorry.
You got to put something in there when you turn the microwave on.
I understand.
What's in there now?
A cup.
Is there anything in the cup?
Oh, I forgot. Hold on.
You see what I'm dealing with? And you tell me that I am cruel, and you tell me that I'm wrong, and you give me speeches about how I'm going to... Now, okay, hold on a minute. Is there something in that bowl?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
It's like some cereal.
That's not what I want, is it? What did I ask for?
Oh, some of the Menudo.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Bob, if you're hiring people that are that dysfunctional...
If I don't do it, who's going to do it? And you're giving me a hard time. So I hire some guy who doesn't even know that when I say I want a bowl of Menudo, he put a bowl of corn checks in there. But I'm a bad guy.
I admire you for helping the disadvantaged. I admire you for helping people that are disabled. But you can't turn around and get angry at them, and then you're tasing some guy that brought Menudo in.
Oh, he likes it.
Yeah, he likes it.
All right, what do you got in there?
I got Menudo in there.
But that's just a cup. It's a teacup, see?
Oh, okay. You want more?
Yes, I said I want a bowl of Ernesto's Menudo. Go get it, put it in a bowl. Okay?
Yep.
This is what I'm dealing with.
And so, in other words, all of the pressure that you're under, because you have these people that are disabled like this, and this gentleman sounds as if he has some mental defect.
Oh, yeah.
This is the guy that's been with you 20 years.
Well, yes, he's been with me 20 years, but you'll notice he's gotten dumber as in the last 20 minutes. I don't know what that is. But he has, literally. When he first started talking to you, didn't he sound okay?
He sounded fine, yeah.
And now, what do you got? What did you do?
I've got the bowl of menudo.
You got to cook it. You got to, see what I'm saying, Phil? He got the menudo in a bowl, and he just put it on the counter, and he was staring at it.
So he doesn't, you got to remind him of all these things.
Yes. Put it in the microwave, and then start the, there's the baby, there you go. Yeah, see? Isn't that fun? No, that's not long enough.
Here's a menudo.
That's not long enough.
What is?
That menudo is not, you didn't put it in. Hold on for a minute, Phil.
You know, I got to take a break.
You're always got to, I got to take a break. You know what? I need a break from life. How does that sound to you? I need a break from life.
It sounds to me like you're under a lot of pressure, but tearing up.
Now, keep it in there. So what I told these, that's not long enough. It's cold. It's ice cold.
All right, I got to take a break.
Yeah, you take your break.
I mean, Robert Greene is having a birthday party at Fraser Foods. He's talking to his employees. He has varying levels of function and dysfunction there at where he works. On top of everything else, he's under pressure because of the economy. On top of everything else, the only way he can let off steam is tearing up people's food stamps in front of them. And now he can't even do that. And now he has a guy that's been with him for 20 years, and apparently the man is so out of it that he doesn't know how to heat up a bowl of menudo in a microwave. And he's been with him 20 years, and he's got four kids. 877-876-PHIL. Steve Bozell, next hour, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I don't have a lot of time to fool around with this.
I'm not fooling around with anything. What do you mean, fool around with what?
You and I have been on the air here for an hour. I've been trying to get to the bottom of how your business is doing.
Well, my business is doing fine, but that's because I'm having to cut back on overhead by hiring people that don't know how long to microwave soup. I don't know how else to put it to you, Phil. I've been trying to go as slow as I can. And
what does microwaving soup have to do with working in your grocery store?
What does microwaving soup? It has nothing to do with it, Phil. Nothing. But I would think that any human being would know how to microwave soup. And if you don't know how to microwave soup, then what is that? Look at this. He's trying again. How many times has this been, Bob?
About 10. This good?
No, it's still cold. You see, so another 10 times, and maybe it'll be warm enough for me to enjoy. But until that time, I can't enjoy it at all. And that's the part that...
All right, but here's what I'm saying. You've had to cut back on overhead. That means you're hiring people that are less qualified. I thought this guy, Bob Ludwig, has been with you for 20 years.
He has. Bob has been with me for a long time, Phil. But he has, as many people have in this economy, he has... His intellect, his ability to think creatively, his ability to do normal things has eroded over the years because the money isn't there. You don't have any interest in your job if you can't make more money. It is a normal human desire to make more, to have more resources. And if you know, you're getting dumber, that's because there's no...
What do you mean getting... I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying...
You don't speak English, I guess.
I speak English. Yes, I do.
Well, then what is it that I'm saying that you don't understand?
I don't understand how a guy's intellect erodes over 20 years.
There is no incentive for this man. I can't afford to pay him more.
So therefore, he forgets how to microwave soup. So therefore, he forgets these basic functions of life that he ordinarily knew how to do.
I guess. I don't know. Look at him. This is number 15. I don't know.
Is this warm enough?
No, it's still cold.
Well, you know something? He's had it in there so many for so many minutes. It's got to be warm.
Well, maybe there's something wrong with it. Hold on. Yeah, there's a fuse blown. It's not even heating anything up.
Well, then that's not his fault.
Well, it is his fault that he didn't figure it out. I had to look, didn't I? I'm going to go outside, Phil, because I what I want to do is I want to wrap up this segment. I want to give you a couple of ideas on what's going on. Number one, I'll just leave this behind.
That's what you should have done at the beginning of this interview.
Well, I'm so sorry, Mr. Don Hewitt. Next time we do 60 Minutes, we'll try to do it better.
I'm just saying that's what you should have done.
What I want... Hold on.
If you say hold on to me one more time, I'll hang up.
I'm sorry, hold on a minute. Bob, take my briefcase, put it on my desk, and take this menudo and heat it up in the microwave that works.
Okay.
What I'm saying is this, Phil. The time that it takes for me to train new people, the amount of money that it takes for us to train people and then to get them into a situation whereby we can say to them, now here, the hell is...
What happened?
What was that? Huh? What? What did he do? He put in the briefcase in the microwave. He put the laptop in the microwave.
Are you an idiot? You told me to do that.
No, I didn't. I said put the menudo in the microwave and put my laptop on the desk. He put the...
Phil.
No. Henry. No.